Welcome one, welcome all into 49ers Live. I'm Joe Fan, joined by our special guest today, ESPN NFL Nation 49ers insider Nick Wagner. Nick, appreciate the time, my man. It's year two for you covering the team.
It's got to be the dog days if you're already calling me out of the bullpen. That you can
no,
tell that's where we're at.
Never the camp, VIP. So. You are, man. So this is year two. I guess to start into our conversation here about training camp leading into week one of the preseason, I'm curious for your initial thoughts now seeing two different regimes. The difference between year one and year two for you.
Yeah, well, I covered the Rams for a dozen years before I came out here. But coming in here last year, I was just trying to play catch up. You know, yeah. I got here a couple days before training camp and trying to meet people and learn the process of media availability and all that kind of stuff. But this year, things are a little bit more settled. And I think that the big thing from year one to year two with Kyle Shanahan is I understand everything that's going on, and I don't mean I understand. I'm not inside the mind of a genius, you know what I mean? I don't understand everything he's saying all the time, but he explains things so well. I understand what his plan is, though, and he has a plan for everything, and that's really been the big thing that sticks out to me from year one to year two, whereas last year, and it might have just been me, I feel like I was running around trying like a chicken with his head cut off for a lot of the time.
We'll get into Kyle Shanahan and his preparations for game one of the preseason against Kansas City Chiefs. But first, we've got our top five plays of week two of training camp. And we start with an undrafted rookie who continues to show out, and that's Matt Breida. This is on Saturday at the open practice in Levi Stadium on a wheel route, a diving catch. Nick, he's been so good throughout camp.
Yeah, he's a guy that clearly one of the undrafted free agents that has the best chance to make this roster. And if he can give you some special teams value in addition to what he does in the offense, I think he's putting himself in a spot to make that 53 out of camp.
From one diving catch to another, it's Aldrick Robinson for a touchdown, beating Akella Witherspoon. A nice throw from Matt Barkley. And Aldrick Robinson, a trusted target for Kyle Shanahan, who's had his moments in camp as well.
Yeah, and what people aren't seeing here is Aldrick Robinson actually caught the three passes before that, basically did all the work on that drive. It was a really good drive for him. Him and Matt Barkley had a good connection going there, and he's got a chance to play a lot on the outside as well.
And then a little redemption for the defense here. It's Aldrick Robinson who makes a nice move downfield, and then Eric Reed with the hit stick.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of physicality in this camp. That is a thud tempo at the extreme level of it, as they call it.
Eric Reed, never shy about lowering the shoulder. I think that's something we hope to see from him quite a bit in that new strong safety role. Then Reuben Foster, he's had three picks. Make it four as he continues to work with the first team defense. This was with the twos yesterday, but he continues to show well in coverage, being disciplined, being sound in his technique.
I think what you're seeing here, and he actually disguised his coverage on that one, drop back, made the interception, and the one thing that a lot of the coaches talk about with him is his ability to study film and the work that he puts in. That's the type of interception that comes from film study, not necessarily from being a great athlete, which he is, but more so from the mental side of things that he does.
The theme of standout rookie performances continues with Trent Taylor, and I don't think you can say enough good things about this guy so far. And the best way to summarize Trent Taylor so far is these two back-to-back catches, getting both feet in bounds, great body control, but Nick, as advertised.
Yeah, and Aldrick Robinson, he calls him Toe Tap Taylor, and as you can see, the reason's right there, because he makes catches like that seemingly every day. Really good body control, finds a way to get his feet down, and learning quickly from college, where you only need to get one down, he's already got the two, so pretty good for him.
Absolutely. And so what do you make of this rookie class? I mean, that's really what, especially with a new regime, you had 10 draft picks. You've got a number of undrafted free agents who have really made a name for themselves throughout the offseason program and training camp. And so all eyes are on them, right? Kyle Shanahan said the starters will probably play for a quarter, and we'll get to that against Kansas City. But I think when you're seeing these rookies play so well during camp, still a long month, but roster decisions are going to be very difficult.
Yeah, I actually remember coming out of the draft, the day after the draft, John Lynch, general manager, standing outside just out here at the stadium with a lot of his staff. And this is moments after the draft, I mean, maybe an hour or so, which usually you see a lot of personnel guys are upstairs still trying to call undrafted free agents and things like that. I said, John, you're done already? He said, it's the land of opportunity, man. So what he was saying basically is people wanted to come here. There was opportunities for undrafted free agents to come here and make a difference and potentially make this roster. And I think you're seeing that. You can name four, five, maybe even six undrafted free agents who have a shot to make the roster. And then when you look at the draft picks, whether it's Solomon Thomas, Reuben Foster has already ascended to kind of that starting level, has or at least has a really good chance to do that. Part of that, of course, because of injury, but Solomon Thomas is nipping at the heels of Tank Carradine. So you've got all these kind of moving pieces, but guys that not only are going to make this roster, but have a chance to contribute in year one.
I think when you talk about Solomon Thomas, someone who was behind the eight ball due to the rules that kept him at Stanford and away from the SAP Performance Facility. But now you see him, like Robert Saleh said, Solomon's starting to show up. You saw today he had a sack, again, not in pads, but a great rush for a sack, had a run stop, and he's continued to make those plays day in and day out.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Solomon Thomas, like you said, is catching up, but it's funny when you watch him because they're using him in multiple spots. He's your big defensive end, but he's also a three-technique defensive tackle when you go into nickel and sub packages, and he actually looks like a guy right now who's ready to play at three technique, which is kind of his secondary position, which is interesting, but it also goes back to the fact that he's got to learn that position, that big defensive end spot. He hasn't had a chance to do it, but as he kind of rolls in there, you're going to see him doing both of those things as we move along. And, you know, Tank Carradine's not exactly, you know, succumbing to Solomon Thomas either. He's fighting for his job and has had a pretty good camp as well. So there's a lot of depth there. I think you're going to see Jeff Skinnina as we go along here really rolling through those defensive linemen in the season.
The amount of competition at every position and the depth as well has been impressive for this roster so far. Kudos to John Lynch of really loading up players who, whether it's a draft pick, an undrafted guy, free agency, who are competing. And as you saw today, should they not be competing anymore, they are shown the door, and it was a really hard decision, says Kyle Shanahan. But Jeremy Zutaw, no longer a member of this team. Again, a nod to Daniel Kilgore. On that offensive line, you have the bookend tackles and not Trent Taylor. Opposite Trent
that
Taylor.
That might be an issue, but he's Trent, tough, but I don't know if he's that tough.
Trent Brown and Joe Staley, and then Daniel Kilgore really emerging, 100% healthy. It's good to see Kilgore. I mean, you saw when Zutaw came in, a lot of fans writing off Daniel Kilgore. He's been playing very well in camp.
Yeah, and I think that interior of the offensive line is kind of a question mark for this team right now, and especially with Josh Garnett's injury, that throws things into flux a little bit further. You know, Zane Beadles is getting opportunities at left guard. You have Brandon Fusco at right guard. But having Kilgore, who you can at least say, okay, here's one more spot that seems to have solidified on this offensive line, is a positive, because an offensive line, more so than any other unit in football, has to have cohesion, and it's hard to get that when you have so many moving parts. So having Kilgore kind of solidify himself as your center right now gives you a little stability. Kyle Shanahan really values that at that position. If you remember the amount of money Atlanta gave to Alex Mack when he was down there as offensive coordinator. So I think there's a lot of kind of moving parts that are going around that, but having Daniel Kilgore gives you some stability in the middle, and now you can figure out who your guards are going to be moving forward.
We're just 2 days away from the preseason opener. The team will leave tomorrow for Kansas City, then play on Friday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. local time in Kansas City. And before we get that, since it's game week, it also means it's depth chart week. And the first time we get a look at the first unofficial depth chart.
Yeah, unofficial. Emphasize it, Joe.
Yeah, sorry, first unofficial
there you go.
Depth chart. What stood out to you from that list of names and where they stood up?
One position that I think is fascinating right now is tight end. When I look at that group, I think George Kittle, the rookie, who actually Kyle Shanahan said today probably isn't going to play. He's been dealing with a little bit of a hamstring issue, probably isn't going to play on Friday night, but he's basically been getting starters reps. Even if he's not in there with that first rep, he's getting that much work during practice. So I think George Kittle's a guy who's going to be very involved and has kind of got himself a spot. I think Logan Paulson probably has himself a spot because he's a solid blocker, knows Kyle Shanahan. There's somebody that he can trust at that position and in that room. So I think that's a good thing. But then I think you have competition, and it's how many of these other guys are going to make the roster. First of all, you never know with a first-year head coach how many he wants to keep at respective spots. And Vance McDonald, who we heard the trade rumors, it wasn't even rumor, it was a fact. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch both confirmed that they had discussed potentially trading Vance McDonald. He's been a guy who, especially here the last few days, has started to come on a little bit and is not going to just let this thing go easily. And so I think you have him. I think you have Cole Hikutini, who's one of those undrafted free agents that we referenced earlier that has a chance to make this roster. Those are a couple of guys I think that, you know, realistically, you're probably only going to keep three because you have Kyle Juszczyk, who can also play there. That gives you a fourth if you need one. So you may have that competition for one spot there. So I think the Cole Hikutini, particularly one guy I want to look at in this preseason to see if he can step up, because he's kind of been up and down throughout this camp.
100%, and I think we talked about this a little bit with Daniel Kilgore, but the same goes for Vance McDonald, where it started in the draft when he's at his brother's wedding and finds out that there's trade rumors surrounding his name. And when you get George Kittle, who again plays well during OTAs, people fascinated by the athleticism of Cole Hikutini, and obviously you sign Logan Paulson as a free agent, it's all right, well, just like that, Vance and Garrett Selleck, for that matter, they're gone, just like that. Well, not so fast. This is still a guy who had 360-plus yard touchdowns last year on a team that was void of playmakers. There were times when he was the lone playmaker in that passing game last year, and he's played well. So kudos to him for rising to the occasion, making this a tough choice, and not going down quietly, something you would expect.
Yeah, and with him in particular, it would have been easy for him to check out or to just move on and say, well, if they don't want me here, I don't want to be here. But it wasn't even necessarily a function of that. I think the thing with Vance McDonald is he goes in there now and he gives you an element of a known commodity. And maybe it's not the commodity that you want. Maybe he's not the perfect tight end that you'd love to have. But he is not a rookie. He's, you know, if you go, let's say you did go with Cole Hikutini in addition to George Kittle, now you're counting on two guys, especially if Paulson is more in a blocking role. You have two guys who you're asking to run routes and catch passes who have never done it at the NFL level. At least Vance McDonald has that. Even if he doesn't have ties to this regime, there's still that element. At least you know what you're going to get with him.
Absolutely. If you have questions, be sure to send them in. We've got a couple coming in here that we'll get to in a second. On the defensive side of the ball, in terms of that depth chart, it's really the linebacker position that was – it was that day when the team officially put Malcolm Smith on injured reserve, and it was, okay, well, who gets the first crack at first-team reps? Is it Ray-Ray Armstrong? Is it Reuben Foster? Turns out it's Reuben Foster. They'll continue to split reps a little bit, but interesting to see where other rookies at the bottom of the depth chart and have to work their way up, at least on paper, Reuben Foster already there.
Yeah, and we've seen them kind of alternate back and forth a little bit. I know Reuben Foster dealing with a little bit of an ankle issue. Took him out of practice today, got taped up, went back in briefly, but wasn't able to finish practice. But I think it was just a matter of time with Reuben Foster before he kind of became a huge contributor in this defense anyway. So now you expedite the process. But you've heard Robert Saleh say it, and it's just kind of common knowledge, is he just needs the reps. He needs the work. And there's another guy who didn't in the spring get the opportunity to take what he was learning in the classroom and apply it to on the field. So now he's doing that. He's seeing things for the first time. And Foster himself even talked about how, you know, I can't make the same mistake twice. I'm going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. And we've seen that. You know, there have been busts. But as long as he's not doing it over and over again, he's a guy that they can put in there and trust him to be in the right spot at the right time.
Let's move on to this preview of week one of the preseason. And Mark's got a question. Wants to know who the top rookies to watch on Friday are. If Reuben Foster's ankle checks out, obviously seeing him go against an opposing offense, him and Solomon Thomas are great options. But I think you talk about the undrafted guys as well. We talked about Breida. But also some of the safeties we haven't touched on.
Yeah.
And that's Lorenzo Jerome and Chancellor James. Lorenzo Jerome, in the absence of Jimmy Ward, Jaquaski Tark, and Eric Reed, has been getting a lot of first-team reps. Yep. Playing center field, that free safety spot, I would expect a lot of work from him.
Yeah, and I think Lorenzo Jerome, I was really fascinated. My favorite discussion with Robert Saleh the other day was when he was talking about Lorenzo Jerome, because we see Lorenzo Jerome and he's being physical, he's hitting like you'd want to see, he's making plays on a regular basis in terms of coming up with interceptions. And Robert Saleh's kind of like, he's still kind of freelancing a little bit. He still finds himself back there, maybe not doing what he's supposed to do within the confines of the defense. And he's getting away with it right now, but when you get into a preseason game, there's always that possibility that he's not going to get away with it, and he's the guy that sticks out for the wrong reasons. So it'll be interesting to see him get out there and get a chance to kind of prove himself in that role, in a game atmosphere where the lights are on a little bit and people are going to be paying attention. And for a guy like that, he knows. You don't have to tell him. As an undrafted free agent from a tiny school, he knows that he needs to go out and perform every time he's out there. And the other thing, too, with a guy like that, because we're basically talking about a potential fourth safety spot on this roster right now, can he play special teams? You know, that's one thing I always do when I watch preseason game is, all right, who's on the special teams? Because those are the guys that are getting a chance. And when you get to roster spots 49 through 53 or so, that's how you make the team.
Absolutely. And I think when you look at these guys, such a big opportunity on Friday, the natural progression of the month of August, you start in shorts. Okay, well, let's see who's just a T-shirt guy, as Elvis Duermbo said. You put on pads, and guys start to separate themselves. Well, Friday night, under the lights, in a game atmosphere, yes, it's preseason, but don't tell these rookies that are fighting for jobs that it's just an exhibition game and doesn't mean anything. And so you want to see the game, as Kyle Shanahan has said, isn't too big for some guys. You know, will they rise to the occasion or kind of shrink up a little bit? And so who makes those plays? Because so many different people have made plays during training camp, especially at the receiver position.
Yep.
You go down the list from Victor Bolden Jr., Kendrick Bourne,
yep,
DeAndre Carter, DeAndre Smelter.
Lewis Murphy
Lewis
today.
Murphy was making plays today. I mean, all of these guys who are fighting for maybe one spot when you start playing that numbers game in terms of the new guys who you already have with they re-signed Curley, Trent Taylor, added in the draft. You have Aldrick Robinson, Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin. I mean,
you got him. I was going to help you.
Yeah, I was.
It's a lot. It's
going
a lot
through
of
the
change.
Rolodex, but this it's such it comes such a numbers game so quickly, yeah. And so who can really prove themselves in a game situation from the veteran side? I'm really looking forward to see one Brian Hoyer,
sure,
and just how he looks in Kyle Shanahan's offense. But also, two, this is the first time we're seeing Kyle Shanahan call plays on the San Francisco 49ers sideline, which in of itself is a big storyline.
Yeah, I actually asked Kyle today how much game planning he plans to do for preseason games. And generally, coaches don't do much at all, maybe a little bit. And maybe for that third preseason game, you do more than you would the other ones. But he said not much at all because he's been burned in the past where he's had plays that he's called in the preseason that have worked. And he's, oh, it's not going to work so much when we get to the regular season. But there is a process there that needs to be worked on, too, though, of getting plays through the headset and Kyle communicating, particularly now where he's a head coach and he's used to calling the plays and that's what he does and he can just focus on
from
that.
From the booth even.
Yeah,
now.
And now you're on the sideline as the head coach and you've got to deal with all these other things, clock management, all those things. And this is the time, obviously, to get the kinks out. You don't want to have a ton of mistakes, but if you're going to have them, now is the time to do that. So that's the big thing here. You're not going to see a lot of fancy. I thought Kyle put it really well today when he said you want to be simple, you want to be vanilla, but you also want to win because there's a competitive part, and especially when you have guys competing for roster spots, their best chance to do that is to go out there and win the game by putting forth a good performance. So a lot of kind of moving pieces and different things to watch that maybe don't necessarily have anything to do with what's on the scoreboard at the end of the night.
I think with what Kyle Shanahan said today, the big takeaways are, for starters, the starters will play about a quarter, probably not more, and then Matt Barkley will play the second quarter, and C.J. Beathard, maybe the third quarter, maybe the whole second half.
Yeah.
Nick Mullins, we'll see if he gets in the mix as well. But C.J. Beathard, another interesting name to watch that this preseason. And Kyle Shanahan said that sure, there's a competition for the number two quarterback spot. And both have had their moments, but you see C.J. Beathard really coming along. Obviously, a huge benefit to him, which is a big reason why Kyle Shanahan drafted him. Coming from a pro-style system at Iowa, which not a lot of college prospects can say. And you see his comfort, where, again, the game doesn't feel too big for him. There's obviously rookie moments, bad throws, all of that. But he looks comfortable, and it looks like he's getting more comfortable.
And I think that goes back to the reason that Kyle Shanahan targeted C.J. Beathard as being his guy, because this is not overwhelming for him. This isn't a guy coming from an air raid offense or a big spread offense where he never played under center, and he's got to learn how to take a snap before he can even, you know, go through a progression and find a wide receiver. He knows all that stuff. That part of it's easy for him. I'm sure the language is more advanced, a little bit more difficult than what he had at Iowa. But in terms of all of the intangible things, the things that don't have to do with actually throwing the football and making plays on the field, C.J. Beathard's ready to go, but there's still a long way to go because he has to be able to take those things and translate them onto the field. And now to get to a chance to do that against another team is always a good opportunity. I always feel like the second or third quarterback is the most watched guy in the preseason because those are always kind of the battles that you want to see, and you want to see, in his case, if he can really adapt to the speed of the game.
Last year, the legend of Christian Ponder, two comeback victories in the preseason. That's drama in August that helps us get through it all. Nick, before we start heading out of here, we've got a really interesting question here from Brody. And I love this question because I don't really even know who might be a sleeper to make the team. And the reason why I feel like it's an interesting question, because what even qualifies as a sleeper at this point when you're coming off of a 2-14 team and over 50 of the players are new, and we've talked about all the undrafted guys who have made such a name for themselves. I mean, is Matt Breida a sleeper anymore? Is Lorenzo Jerome a sleeper anymore? So I pose that to you. Who is your sleeper to make this roster?
Well, and see, this is where we have to take off our hats as guys who are here every day, because we may see guys, that guy's got a great shot to make the roster. He doesn't even qualify as a sleeper anymore, Matt Breida being a good example of that. But to the average fan, they're not here every day. They don't have a chance to know. They can read our reports and watch, you know, 49ers Live. But, you know, at the same time, they're not able to see that for themselves and really understand it until the preseason game. So, I mean, I don't know if there's one that I personally would qualify as one, but some of the names that we went through, I think Chancellor James is an interesting guy. A name, I don't know if he counts as a sleeper because he's a draft pick and he's a little banged up right now, but Adrian Colbert is a guy that I would keep an eye on. And the reason I say that, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier. When you get to the end of that roster,
special
who are
teams.
Your special teams guys? I watched Adrian Colbert before he got hurt on Saturday as a gunner absolutely dominate for two straight reps. And you start thinking, okay, you know, when you get down and it's time to make a decision between two guys who might be equal talent, who's the guy that's going to be able to help me on special teams? that's the thing that kind of pushes it that way. So maybe that's a name that I would keep an eye on when he gets healthy, when he gets back and more involved.
That's beautiful. Before we head out, we do have a nice teaser for you. A big project that our 49ers Studios team has been cranking on. I'm not even going to give you any more. Let's just roll the tape.
You got to lay a strong foundation,
focusing on the process.
You've got to make great decisions in the beginning because it's so important.
You can't think about the end result.
We know we have to do it the right way.
You work your hardest every single day.
You think every detail matters.
And you have 53 guys doing that together. That's how a team gets better. And what everyone really wants, that's how it takes care of itself. Brick by brick.
A big thanks to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch for allowing our production crew the access to get such great content. And that's coming your way tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific time. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on Facebook and Twitter. It'll be on 49ers.com, the mobile app. It'll be pushed out everywhere. You can't miss it, but make sure you set your calendars accordingly. It's going to be a really fun project, something that our producers have literally been working 24-7 on. We got people are spending the night here, working all night. So shout out to Daniel Mapes, who cranked on that editing job, and all of our producers for working on such a great project. Nick, final thoughts. Again, almost game day, preseason week one. What are your expectations for Friday?
Well, is this the part where I put in the big thing you want to come out of the first game with is no injuries?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Let's get that precursor in there. That's always one thing. But for me, I'm more about process than I am about results. Like, I don't really care what the stats are at the end of the night. It's, are people running the right routes? Are you able to cut down on pre-snap penalties, which has been an issue that the Niners have dealt with this week in practice and I know has made the head coach a little upset. Tempo, getting the play calls in, all those things, particularly when you have a new coach. Yes, you want to make sure that they block and they tackle and all the basics of football, but I think process is a big thing for this team right now, especially going into the season, because this is so much, this year is so much for this team about laying a foundation for the future and not so much necessarily about results immediately right now.
You talk about laying a foundation for the future. I think my expectation is all these different position groups who are still gelling and coming together, but one that should be better than average is the defensive line, that defensive front with all the investment, the first-round picks of DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, the veterans that have been added with Earl Mitchell, you know, the pass rushers of Elvis Dumervil, Eli Harold, Ahmad Brooks, Aaron Lynch. I mean, there's a number of names there who all expect to be in the rotation, and they've been so disruptive in training camp, obviously going against their own teammates with pads, without pads. It doesn't matter. Eric Armstead has been a guy who's flashed on a daily basis, might be the defensive MVP of camp. So maybe not necessarily just him in particular, but you want to see that, can this defensive line create pressure? Because getting to the quarterback and stopping the run were two areas where this defense was absolutely miserable in 2016, and they expect to take a big step forward in 2017.
No, and that's a great point, and I didn't mean to sound all Philadelphia 76ers on you there with talk of process. I realize I went Sam Hinkie on you there. But, no, I think that is a big thing because so much about the preseason is – preseason games anyways, your first chance to tackle, like to actually tackle. We're seeing – pushing the line a little bit on tackling at practice, but a chance to go out and do that, and that's a fundamental thing that goes back to stopping the run. So I think those problems, if you have problems stopping the run and you see it in the preseason, a lot of times that's one of the few things that actually there can be some carryover. So it will be interesting to see that. And I want to see these receivers and these corners go up against somebody else, because you never know exactly what you're getting when you have, you know, two sides to the coin. And every day it's like Marquise Goodwin looks great, but what does that say about the corners? You always have that kind of internal struggle on what the reality is. Usually the truth is somewhere in between. But getting to see him against another team is a good way to evaluate, too. Can you win one-on-one?
Some wise person said once upon a time that iron sharpens iron. We'll see how sharp that iron is on Friday night. I can't wait. And we appreciate you joining us. We'll be back next Wednesday. Ted Robinson will be back in the house. But, Nick, man, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for giving us all your insights.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
For Nick Wagner, I'm Joe Fan. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the game on Friday, and we'll see you soon right here on 49ers Live.